Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season or arc has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
And welcome to Kirsty and Bryony's Comfort Zone.
I am Kirsty.
And I am Bryony. And today we are joined by none other than Chris Trott of both Hat Films and High Rollers and that weird viral video you all know on the internet. Only joking. Here he is. It's Trott.
There he
welcome.
Is.
Welcome.
Oh my God. I was like, what viral video? What am I in? I was racking my brain. It's like, what else am I known for?
Hello. This is how we like to ease people into their comfort zone.
Just shocking.
Like throwing them out of it.
Jeez. I was nice and calm.
We have been trying to pin you down for a while because we hear that you have a very exciting, super spicy, it's not spicy, just that you've had a dream.
I've had just a dream.
One dream.
Have had a dream.
One dream in his whole life.
Well, it's so rare for me to have a cohesive dream, like a dream that has like a story to it. It's so rare for
yeah.
me. And I'm sure you've had other people on that have had awesome dreams. But for me, this is awesome for me. So it might be bad in comparison. I don't know.
I think it will be fine. We've had people on that have had no dreams before as well.
Yeah.
So
well, what's the point? Why would you even
What's
go on
the point?
Why would you go on comfort zone without a dream?
Yeah, Xylus.
Wow, should've, called
we
out.
We should have just kicked him straight off.
Yeah, I've got this dream. So how do you want to play this? How do you want to do it? Do you want a teaser?
Well, have you...
Do you want a subtitle?
Oh.
Do you want a tagline?
No. Have like a little trailer to the dream.
Yeah.
I guess we usually start off by asking people, how do you feel? I mean, it's too late at this point, usually, but how do you feel about like dreams? Do you think they like, are you weirded out by them? Or do you have like, do you think that they're just nonsense and they don't mean anything? Or do you feel like they like, some people just hate talking about dreams at
yeah.
all, but how do you feel about dreams?
Okay, so I had a strong stance a few years ago, only because people love to tell me their dream stories. And I was like, I don't give a shit about your dreams because they didn't happen. But as time goes on and I'm hearing more dreams, I'm starting to change into more of a, this is very interesting. I like it from a scientific point of view in terms
yeah.
of what is your brain doing and why is it doing it that way and mm-hmm. why is it existing in that state while your body is kind of shut down. I find that fascinating. So there is a fascinating element to it.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at right now.
What is it that made people want to tell you their dreams?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I literally don't know. But I've had...
To the point where you were getting annoyed with it.
Yeah, it really was. Like, oh, today I had this dream, by the way. And it's completely relevant to me, by the way. It's not like... There's no, like, hook for me, as in, Bryony,
yeah.
for example, likes to tell me that I'm in her dreams a lot, which is great
yeah.
because I want to hear what I've been up to, what nefarious things mm-hmm. I've been doing in Bryony's dreams. that's fine.
Well, you're in one of Kirsty's dreams as a horse. That was one of the first ever.
True. Yeah, you turned into a horse, which turned into a motorbike.
Yeah.
One time.
I did hear about that.
That was a while ago now.
Was I like a stallion? Was I like a big horse or like a tiny horse?
I think probably a big horse. You were on a stage, I think. You were on a stage and then you turned onto a motorbike and then you just sort of zoomed off dramatically.
What kind of bike? Like an old school vintage bike? Like a Harley Davidson?
Yeah, I think something like that.
Oh, lowrider. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It was a cool one.
See, these kind of dreams I like because they're about me.
That's it.
But I've heard loads of dreams from my audience, for example. They like to tell me about their dreams. And I'm like, first of all, I don't know who you are. And second of all, this is entirely made up fictional scenario that you've just informed me about. It's like someone telling you their recent D&D adventure as if you were there, you know?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
I do that all the time.
Oops. At first, I thought you were going to say, first of all, how dare you talk to me?
First of all, I'm a lord.
And a doctor.
And a doctor. Oh, we didn't say that at the start. You guys didn't introduce
no
me
context.
As like, I requested to be introduced as like Your Highness, His Royal Majesty, Lord and Doctor.
Sir.
It didn't happen.
It reminds me of when my sister... This is a curveball. When my sister was pregnant with my niece.
Is this a dream story? Because I'm not interested.
This was real. And my dad was very much like, I'm not going to be a soppy granddad. And I was like, what are you going to have her call you? And he was like, sir. But now he's like the soppiest granddad in the world.
Always the way. Always the way. It's like when you see like older parents or something like that. It's like, I never want a cat. You can have a cat, sure, but I'll never have a cat. And then they end up being like the cutest, snuggliest cat owner.
Speaking of animals, do you think that your doggo and catto dream, do you ever like watch them? Do you watch them when they're sleeping and wonder what's going on in their little heads?
With Mochi, my cute fluffy Japanese Spitz, I don't get a choice because she chooses to sleep underneath my side of the bed. And last night, literally, I got woken up by her dream of constantly barking. But it's like that bark, dream bark. Have you heard dogs dream bark where it's not like a full bark?
Yeah. It's like a muted, like...
Yeah, it's like they're barking through their mouth, but their mouth's not opening or is opening a little bit. So she was doing that. She was twitching. She was definitely chasing something. So yeah, absolutely they dream. And it's amazing to watch. Not amazing to wake up at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Because she was really going for it, and whatever she was barking at, she needed to be heard, you know? But yeah, they absolutely dream. The rabbits dream, have you noticed?
Yeah, like, I mostly notice if Jerry has had a bad dream because he will just wake up grumpy about something. And I'm like, I do not know what's happened, but he'll just all of a sudden be like, he's a bit miffed about something, and I'm like, it must have been that you dreamt something. Whereas Fionn, she digs in her sleep occasionally, so I think she just causes chaos in her dreams all the time.
Just digging holes.
She falls asleep, and then you just start to see her like wobble from side to side, and then you just see her little hands appear, and she'll just be like, dig, 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 dig.
What if they've got linked dreams?
Oh.
They like visit each other's dreams.
Annoying him in his dreams.
Just digging holes for Jerry to fall into.
That's why Jerry's so grumpy.
And he wakes up grumpy.
Though he woke up, he was in a really good mood this morning. And genuinely, he did a little binky, like just a little jump in the air. And it made me so happy that I almost cried. And I was like, what's wrong with me?
Nothing wrong with that.
Just the beautiful boy.
Just this little happy guy.
I've got a curveball. Have you discussed conjoined twins in dreams?
No.
Oh, we've discussed twins, but I don't think we've talked about conjoined twins.
Yeah, conjoined twins that share like an immune system or something like that, but have two separate heads. Do they share dreams? Are they in each other's dreams? Do they have different dreams? That's a whole other podcast, right?
How does it work with like, I guess if it's separate brains, but experiencing the same things throughout the day, I guess that would make you more likely to have dreams about the same thing anyway, just because you've probably got those same triggers throughout the day.
Yeah, but then you got to think, like, they share the same nervous system and then their body shuts down at the same time, one would assume. And then do they enter the same dream state? Do their brains, like, cross over at any point?
That's the point. Would you have to fall asleep at the same time? Or could one of you still just be, like, up scrolling on your phone? Oh, my God. Yeah, this is right. This is a whole other podcast.
I guess...
I feel like they could sleep independently of each other, but I don't know. It's
fascinating. And so many none questions. Of us are scientists, so we can't answer the question.
No, exactly. No. I'm just trying to Google it desperately.
Oh, I should be doing that, but no, I'm just off the top of
my head.
The sign
of a true scientist.
Yeah.
Well, would you like to tell us your dream
had with your
single
head? I've got my notes. And this is literally writing it down verbatim. In my sleepy state. So I'm going to try and make it coherent as best as I can.
Oh. So you actually woke up and wrote it? I think I was too sleepy.
I woke up still kind of in my dreamy state where, like, I think I've discovered a new... I'll explain, okay? But I was so excited that I had to write it down because I think I had a discovery. But obviously now looking like an hour after the dream, I was like, oh, it's just a silly dream. But at the time I was like, oh my God. Anyway, the title I've given this is Granddad and the Past Future.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm hooked. Right? So my dream started with seeing my granddad and knowing he hasn't got long left. It starts off pretty sad. And we go to his little small house where he's alone. Everything's old-fashioned, but very purple and red. I don't know why I'm describing the decor, but I ask about some really eccentric chairs with an elaborate velvet cover and strange covers, which are both extremely old-fashioned, but also very quirky. And my granddad, he says they're from Napoli or Naples, which feels like a genuine connection. So I have this really strong connection with my granddad for the first time ever in this dream. Like, oh my God, we got something in common. This is really nice. And then we continue to reminisce and we bring him back to his old home and we look through all his things. We mention how much, it's mentioned by mum how much money he saved because he lived through the post-war depression. That's just a little insert. there's a point, I'm not sure when it happens, when I'm taking care of him as he falls asleep on a plane. So we're in a plane now, and he's falling asleep. Almost like we rush to get onto this plane. And then an attendant goes around holding a pile of opened passports, reading out names, and then knowingly reading out my granddad's name, her face knowing him warmly, like a well-loved local and old acquaintance that frequently flies on this plane, and gently hands me his passport. I show granddad as she wrote a very nice personal message to him in it, referencing his niche interest in some sort of sci-fi franchise. Something, again, we both seem to have in common and like and acknowledge. So I'm like, wow, I'm really getting on with my granddad in his final days on this plane.
Yeah.
So now I'm in a car traveling, as my mum explains, obviously with sadness and emotion, that there'll be a lot of money after he passes away. We are then at his old home when I live next door to him. Because I used to live next door to my grandparents. That's a whole other thing, but that genuinely was real.
Yeah.
And it's just as I remembered it. We look around at all his old belongings. I see some of my paintings and sculptures on display that I never knew that he put up. And we laugh and reminisce as a family, and it's really nice. I ask how he feels about coming home again, and he suggests he stays with us for a bit. It feels very emotional, like I'm speaking to him properly, more than I have ever done before. Coming out of my shell, expressing myself more than usual. And then we comment on the fish tank that's still there and they're still swimming about. And there's a weird fish in there. And I'll get to that later because it actually links, which is nuts. So one granddad is telling me more and more about his past around a table. I somehow get taken into his past. And this is where it gets insane. Okay.
What?
So imagine this whole setup is basically I'm following my granddad. He's in his final years. We are on a plane. Someone on the plane, the attendant knows who he is and gives him the passport. And then we're back in his old house where he used to live next to us. And it turns out we've got so much more in common than I ever thought. And then I go into his past as he's telling me about it. So I'm now in a crazy immersive vision. Firstly, seeing the moment as a teen, his teens, in some sort of camp or boot camp surrounded by other kids and a bullish teacher where he confronts him and admits doing something embarrassing and damaging. The teacher is furious and the other kids erupt in chaos like an uncontrolled class, laughing at my young granddad. Curiously, I can't make out entirely what he's saying, but I get the gist. I notice that other family members are watching this experience, like my brother, who is helping correct what I'm hearing. So he's like standing next to me like in, you know, like Christmas Carol, where we're kind of like observing.
Oh, yeah.
I've got like other family members who are like ghostly apparitions saying like, oh, he said this in this moment. I don't know why, but that's just a little detail. there's also another narrator of some kind explaining this is the moment he destroys his ego and sets him on his journey.
Wow.
So there's like this overarching voice which kind of penetrates through everything that says that. Then I'm kind of whisked away and I'm now climbing a Mount Everest style cliffside. So it's like really, really cold, loads of wind and rain or whatever brushing over my face. And I am my granddad, by the way. There's bricks that I'm like gripping onto that have names on them. They're like milestones of other people's names that have engraved on these bricks. It's like, this is the furthest this person has ever got on this cliffside, for example.
Okay.
And I'm like my granddad trying to push beyond that. This is wild. I'm reading it back for the first time in like a few months, by the way. So it's just like, oh my God, what the hell? I see him reaching his furthest goal with his wife cheering him on. His wife obviously being my grandmom, but I say his wife. But I'm there too, and I see his title with his name engraved on it, and I still recognize him as granddad. It's all connected to me still. It's still my granddad. I'm then transported again, or rather the world around me changes. I sort of fall knowingly into a dusty street somewhere in Egypt.
Oh, okay.
And there's a recognizable tall buildings in the distance that look like Bristol, but it's not. I added that for no reason. Yeah. I'm observing, but also present for, I think, my celebrity granddad at this point. Like, he's really well known, showing his discovery of some webbed leaf. And this is his major discovery. And he starts explaining it. Then a customer takes this strange seahorse-like fish, which was in that fish tank, by the way, suspended in water.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like showing it to my granddad, who is me. I'm in his perspective. It's like orangey with red, pale in areas with black speckles. Like I could see this in like vivid detail. You know, when you have one of those dreams, it's like hyper detailed and vivid. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those. So from its mouth of this seahorse in this like submerged tank is a windy metal rod that curves in like crazy loops and stuff and goes all the way around and back into it in its rear. And it's placed on the fish, and I know it's placed there on purpose, and the fish can only remain in that position. And then this strange seahorse starts undulating continually, releasing a bead of orangey-red liquid that sticks to this little, I guess it's like a wire, and it starts like moving around all these loops and stuff and going back around and then coming back into the fish, and it keeps doing that. It's just crazy. And I'm like transfixed on this thing. The customer clearly hasn't done this before. He's like asking the granddad, like, what is this and what is your discovery and how does this all work? He knows he has to ingest the liquid somehow, but it's all so intricate and the metal is way too close to the strange fish. I talk about this fish for a very long time, so I'm going to skip over it. But I'm fascinated by this fish and the seahorse-like creature that's like undulating this liquid. My granddad's very knowing. He's like, I discovered this. I know what this is all about. And then apparently it's hazy at this point, but I feel like I'm being tugged and torn through time itself. I think I ingested one of those beads, okay? So I've taken the bead. The world is tearing away and I'm thrown into a strange, futuristic, dark corridor with really weird billboards and things all around me. I think someone's accompanying me hurriedly for a while. I have no idea where I am. I think I'm trying to blend in and not have anyone discover me. There's a pain in my head and neck, like something's in there, messing with my senses and making it hard to focus. And I'm running through these strange corridors. I find someone who finally understands why I'm here, but doesn't explain very much. I'm just given some device secretly, like I wasn't supposed to receive it or have people around me notice. It's like a device that has a list of information, like titles that I tap, and more information reveals itself when I tap on them. The top article, I think, is about the liquid from the fish, but it's confusing and about some parasite or something. Eventually, I'm taken to a hideout with some cyberpunk-esque people, like a gang of rebels who talk about themselves and dismissively discuss me and how I obviously have this thing in me that is causing problems that needs to be removed. It's like they know why I'm here, but don't really explain and just get on with things like this isn't completely crazy. Is this making sense so far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm picturing the Matrix when they take the thing out of Neo's belly button.
I'm picturing Baldur's Gate with the tadpoles.
Yeah, I mean, could be something like that. And then I'm somehow flicking back to current day in the desert with my granddad showing me areas in the ground in the desert that he discovered buried under strange tubes, starting his lifelong search. So he's kind of like showing me how he came to this discovery in the desert of like, look at all these strange like buildings and things that are underneath the desert that are in ruins. And then I'm taken back to the strange futuristic place again. Everything's wild, like the computers seemingly project wild and abstract shapes. Like I'm seeing completely unique and new technology here. And I remember it super vividly in my dream. Like, it's very strange how I kind of came up with this tech. Anyway, lots of projections and stuff. I somehow discovered as an imposter by some sort of evil entity that has a surreal blue face that isn't human. He looks like M. Bison from Street Fighter. Kind of. It's like that outfit, you know, but with a strange blue face. He belittles and questions me like I'm nothing more than just some fun annoyance. I try my best to tell them that I'm from a different time. And I figure it out as I'm speaking to him that I'm from their future.
Oh.
I'm seeing their final days at a time far, far younger on this planet. And as I explain that the planet, as I literally see it manifest in front of me, as I struggle to convey that our future is nowhere near this advanced. And I'm laughed at and mocked at by this person, but ask more questions because they're clearly entertained by what I'm saying. I ask them what computers they're running everything on. And they're like, obviously, it's quantum. And I'm like, what? We don't have that. We literally don't. We don't have that technology yet. And they're just like laughing at me, but it's all dismissed. And then things get more and more erratic and panic, like the world is tearing away from me again. And I'm trying to explain myself in like shouting through the wind kind of way, like just trying to get it through to them that if they carry on this path, their whole civilization on this planet is going to destroy itself and our civilization is going to flourish from it and no one's going to remember you. And then I wake up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Such an adventure.
That was so intense.
I know.
Oh my goodness, where to begin?
Yeah.
So, have you ever been to Napoli or Egypt?
I've not been to Egypt. I have been to Napoli.
Okay. Did you like the chairs in
nothing
particular?
No, I don't remember seeing any chairs there.
Not one. So,
not a
they
single
don't
chair.
Have chairs.
They were completely chairless.
Oh my God.
Just wondering what the connection would be between the chairs at the beginning. I mean, I think like the things that stood out for me that I sort of made a note of throughout were I think like I get this thing where I start thinking if I'm having a particularly like, oh, I feel like not a grown up. I don't feel like an adult. Mm-hmm. How do I cope? I start thinking, what were my parents and my grandparents like when they were my age at the moment?
Okay.
So I wonder if like part of you was thinking like, oh, what would my granddad have been doing when he was my age?
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the internet, so I guess they climbed mountains and went to Egypt. Yeah.
Made fascinating discoveries, yeah.
What else did people do before the internet existed?
Must be
something
like that.
Sounded like quite the adventurer. Like, he was famous. He was in Egypt looking at secrets.
He had this whole other life that I knew nothing about, yeah.
Yeah.
Which in a way is like, that is what parents and grandparents are like, because they do have this, you sort of think that they came into being at the same time as we did, but you forget they've had these like decades of life.
That's a good
before.
Point. And I don't think we realize this until adulthood, right? Until we start going through those same experiences. They're like, oh my God, my parents did this and had all this before it.
It is very strange. The other thing I found very interesting is that you specifically said a seahorse.
Yeah.
Because they are like the only sea creature I can think of where it's like very, like the male is very nurturing and looks after the little one. So just the fact it was a seahorse and your granddad, I was like, oh, is he the seahorse taking care of you or something? But that's all I know about seahorses.
He made me take drugs, technically.
Oh, okay.
So whether that's a nurturing thing or not, I don't know.
You take your vitamins.
Oh, it could be vitamins.
Super Ted-shaped vitamins.
Yeah, just vitamins. There were a lot of colours as well in your dream. I noticed like there were lots of reds and purples, I think, in your granddad's place. And then you were saying about the colours of the fish and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Lots of sort of like, I don't know, warm tones, and then being in like Egypt and stuff. And it sounds like it was a really bright and vivid dream.
Super vivid.
Yeah.
Quite rare for me.
Especially towards the end, like when it all started tearing apart as well.
Yeah. Fabric of time.
The fabric of time.
When you dream usually, do you usually dream in first or third person?
Oh, I guess usually first person.
Oh, okay. So like when you were your granddad and stuff, I guess that's not too out the ordinary to be like that first person perspective of like, I'm doing this.
Yeah, it's just unusual that I was them and not myself, I guess, would be the unique thing of this dream.
Yeah.
Like I was consciously aware that I'm inhabiting someone else's body and going through their memories, so to speak, which is pretty wild.
It just sounds so... Like, what did your, if you don't mind me asking, what did your granddad do? Was he an explorer?
He was in the RAF.
Oh, okay.
So he was an engineer, World War II, and he did some time in the World War. Thankfully, never on the battlefield, but he was an engineer doing plane work and stuff like that, and he went out to Germany. So he was pretty active.
Yeah.
I'm quite smart.
So I guess the like the plane journey, I guess.
Could be related.
You associate. Yeah, because I think usually with planes, is it about, I mean, you'll have to check the highly scientific book.
I didn't even check the book. I know what it says about planes, Bryony.
Oh.
it's a long phallic object. Generally, Freud gets involved with planes.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, yeah, we should have mentioned that Freud is a big part of both of the dream books.
Okay, all right. There's a flavor to it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But I think also just like those sorts of journeys on any sort of transport can be just like life journeys, isn't it? It's like going from one part of your life or feeling like you're entering a new part of life. So I guess it could be something to do with that. And I guess in a way, like, I wonder if there's some sort of life journey or like career journey, like that sort of thing you're endeavoring on. Is endeavoring a word? Endeavoring.
We'll go with endeavoring. Yeah. Feels
about
right.
To endeavor upon that. Like, just the fact that you're so surrounded by family in all of this dream as well. Like,
I know.
When you're watching your granddad and when you are your granddad, it's like they're all. It's like you are thinking, like, what would they do? Or you want the support of them or something like that.
Yeah. Even people that, like, you didn't know, like the air hostess, right? Like, they knew your granddad and they were really friendly. Just everyone was, I've looked at planes again and it does mention Freud, but it also says the aircraft represent a desire for new experiences and excitement.
There you go. Maybe it's a sign you want to go to Egypt.
Yeah.
I think it's time to go to Egypt. I'm going to start dusting around like an archaeologist, seeing if there's an ancient civilization that died. It was at a time, I will say, where I read about, it's more the science of it, like how old Earth is, right? And there is space because of like the way everything breaks down. There's the potential, there's this huge area of like millions of years where you just can't have any trace of civilization anymore. Like even if we were to dig really far down, there's a certain amount of time into the future where humans, for example, will not be able to be discovered anymore because we would have broken down into just like our bare components.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And apparently because Earth is so old, there's a chance it's completely, you know, ultra rare. There's a chance that civilization could have lived and died on our planet and we would have no trace of them in the ground at all.
So like even before dinosaurs sort of thing?
Yeah.
Or
that's wild.
Just it's more it was more a science analogy for like how old the planet is to put it in perspective. Mm-hmm. Like humanity's just a tiny blip and another blip could have existed and we wouldn't be able to detect it at all. Nowadays we will. I think humanity's going to last because of all the microplastics, but I found that fascinating and I was kind of obsessed with that for a little bit, like thinking like, oh, that's really cool. So I think that may have influenced the whole future past ancient civilization stuff that was going on.
I think I do get that, like, I don't know about you two, but I have such a poor sense of time. Mm-hmm. Like when people say stuff like the time between the cowboys and this is shorter than the time between this and this. And I'm just like, huh? Like I've tried doing that Yiddle thing and it made me realize that I have no idea when anything was or any concept of when anything was at all.
I find that those comparisons help me, to be honest. Like without those, I am just completely clueless. I'm just like, I don't know when any of this stuff was. But I really liked Yiddle. I was better at it than I thought it would be.
I'm sort of like, there were the Romans and then Jesus, blah, 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 Jane Austen. And now today.
Just a big old gap.
And between like zero and the 1800s.
Oh my God.
I don't know what happened. Tudors? War of the Roses?
Do you want to know a crazy fact?
Go on,
yes.
About time.
Yeah.
Oxford University existed for hundreds of years before the Aztec Empire was founded.
What?
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about this.
Really? That war?
Yeah, 1428, before the Aztecs.
Damn.
When were the Aztecs?
Do you think Aztecs would be ancient?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Yeah. I think of Aztecs as being... So wait, when were the Aztecs? Because in my mind, that's like mixed in with like mythology, like 2000 BC sort of thing. Is that fairly recent?
So there were three city-states which began an alliance. And these three city-states ruled the area in around the Valley of Mexico from 1428 until they combined forces of the Spanish conquistadors and their native allies under the Hernan Cortes defeated them in 1521. Aztec culture had rich and complex mythological and religious traditions.
What?
Damn. I didn't realize it was so recent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And woolly mammoths were roaming the lands when Egyptians were still building the pyramids. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I'm on an article. It might not be true.
No, I've heard that one before. That's definitely true.
Okay.
I mean, I guess with mammoths, like, I can sort of, I can understand. I mean, we still have elephants, so it stands to reason we'd have hairy ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fairly
big, fluffy
recently.
Ones.
Hmm. Do you think, if, you know, they talk about doing this thing where they're like, we found a mammoth, we can Jurassic Park the shit out of this. Do you think they should? Or should they leave well enough alone?
I'm kind of like in a 50-50 camp.
Mm.
Part of me is like, do we really understand enough to be meddling with that? But at the same time, the results of science that could come from it
yeah.
could be very beneficial. Like, as in reducing the impact of human, you know, the industrial revolution and all that, and climate change. You know, if we can help animals not go extinct by reanimating woolly mammoths, yeah. then maybe that's a good thing. But then again, we might also be messing with, like, let's reintroduce woolly mammoths into the chain and then see what happens.
I watched this TED Talk about there was this frog that went extinct in a rainforest. It was caused by, like, people didn't even realize they'd done it. Basically, we went there and we trampled in a new disease and it wiped out this frog.
Yeah, mm. Classic.
And the fascinating thing about this frog was it would, when it got pregante, it would actually, like, change its stomach into a womb oh. and keep the babies in its tum-tum. These were the very oh, wow. scientific words used in the TED Talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess then it just vomed up the babies. But it was... like, they were sort of saying, like, we want to bring this back because we have enough specimens that we could bring this frog back. But I was like, but do you just want to bring it back so you can mess with it? Because obviously there's, like, things about neutralizing stomach acids you could learn through this frog. And I'm like, don't bring it back just to meddle with the frog and, like, learn about its tummy. Like, bring it back so it can get on with its day doing its froggy things.
Yeah, I mean... yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I can see the benefits for humanity.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
at the expense of experimenting on frogs that are extinct. So yeah.
The problem is, as well, the ecosystem has moved on so much since these animals have gone extinct that if yeah, you were to bring them to back, be, they'd have to be in captivity.
Yeah. yeah.
Or modified in some
Yeah, or modified,
way.
Or you'd have to spend loads of money trying to reintroduce them, then they might just get wiped out again. So yeah, it's a whole thing.
Or they could become, like, big sentient frog mutants and
true,
take over.
True.
You know?
Put us in their tum-tums.
Yep, they could.
Oh, my gosh. Would you go to Jurassic Park? If it was a real thing, would you go?
Hell yeah, I'd go.
I think I would, yeah.
I would definitely go.
Even with the risk of Jurassic Park happening?
Yeah.
More so.
If I die, I die. What a way to go.
I want to, yeah, it would be a great way to be eaten by a feathered T-Rex.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want it to be accurate.
What about...
I want it to be bird-like.
Getting eaten off the toilet like that one fella, so...
That would be me.
That would suck.
Yeah.
That would suck, but still eaten by a dinosaur. It's pretty cool.
Still a cool way to go.
It'd probably be quite quick as well. Like a couple crunches, you're done.
That's true. That is true.
I wouldn't want to be spit in the face by that one that spat in that guy's face, though. That
no,
would suck.
Or like yeah. got by all the tiny, teeny, tiny ones, like just being...
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather...
Compsognathus.
Oh.
Compsognathus.
I'd rather just, you know, one big crunch, ham-nam, gone, rather than death by
Not
a
tiny
thousand
nibbles.
Nibbles, yeah. That'd be bad.
I used to be obsessed with dinosaurs. So yeah, I'm a firm yes.
I feel like everyone goes through. What is it? Does everyone go through a dinosaur phase, or does it just happen that we all went through dinosaur phases? I feel like it's a
I feel like dinosaurs are brought up, and
yeah.
then either you're on board and you learn a little bit about them, or you're surrounded by people that are obsessed with them, so you can't get away from it.
Yeah, you just did you osmosis all the information.
Yeah.
You used to get Dinosaur Magazine.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't.
It was, this was like back in the days where if you had like a 3D picture, you had to have the like one red, one blue glasses instead
yeah.
of these fancy
yeah.
new ones that you get. It was, you'd have like the dinosaur centerfold, not in a sexy way, and it would be 3D. Oh. You'd be like, whoa. Oh my.
Compromised T-Rex. And you used to get like the slot together glow-in-the-dark skeleton.
Yes.
Piece by piece.
Oh my God, yeah. All the wooden ones that you'd have to build.
All the wooden ones,
I had those. Those were great.
Have you had any dreams about dinosaurs?
I don't know that I have.
I remember we had... Oh, no, I did have one recently, didn't I? That I was in that restaurant and I went to leave it and I was suddenly crossing, like, you know in Fantasia where you get like the happy dinosaur bit, but then all of a sudden there's like the real volcanic, oh, scary dinosaur bit. Mm-hmm. And I was crossing the scary bit and then I turned around and I was like, what am I doing? I'm still on the first level. And I just went back to the happy bit.
Oh, wow. What's fascinating about Fantasia is they didn't know the meteors wiped them out.
Really?
So, yeah. So if they depict the volcanic and lava and the drought killing off the dinosaurs in Fantasia, but they hadn't discovered the meteor yet.
Oh, that's cool.
When was that discovery made then? Because Fantasia... See, this is another thing that confuses me. Like, Disney movies, I think of them as being like... The 80s and 90s.
They're just timeless.
Some of them are like the 40s, aren't they? They're like really...
Fantasia came out in 1940.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1980, I think, is when, around that time...
God, really?
...is when the asteroid was proposed as a thing. Yeah. So it's quite recent.
I don't think I could be a scientist that says that. I think I would doubt myself too much because I'd be like, I can't say it was a meteor. Everyone will laugh at me and point.
Yeah, it might be a meteor, but you know, it might not be. Don't listen to me.
I'm just put out there, guys.
Yeah, what do I know?
I think that's how a scientist should be. There shouldn't be any ego. You should just be willing to like change your mind based on facts, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's the thing, is like we went through that phase of like Victorian science where they just said stuff with such gumption. They'd be like, yeah, we discovered this. This is a dinosaur that definitely existed. And really they've like stuck three dinosaurs together because they don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, no, this is the like triple headosaurus that I just discovered. No one's like, oh wow, cool, yeah, that's real,
good job.
I guess maybe we are a bit more humble with our science these days.
I think so. I think it needs like multiple scientists to nod and agree before they print or present it.
Yeah.
We've got three nodders. I think we're ready to present the triple-headed Stegodon.
It's like the olden days where when you used to have the Colosseum and they'd wait to see if the person would give a thumbs up or thumbs down if you lived, but it's just with scientific nods.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Sounds cool, bro.
Is he going to shake?
Hell yeah,
giving a
that
little
existed.
Nod. Like my favorite one is the I always forget the name of it. What's the one with the thumbs? The Iguanodon, I think. When they first discovered that.
Oh,
and
yes.
They put the thumb on the nose because they were like, it wouldn't have thumbs, it must be a horn.
It must have it on its nose.
Yeah. Just stuff like that. Oh,
Iguanodons.
Oh.
They're just happy.
Love
always
them.
Giving thumbs up. Hey.
So, quick question about my dream.
Yeah.
Did I have a genuine premonition? Should I start making this contraption with the seahorse thing?
It depends. Like, did the seahorse... It sounds like it was quite sad about it.
The seahorse kind of looked like it was... Yeah, it was trapped. But it was also like it was... designed entirely for this, like it was meant to be there, not like it was like experimented on or anything.
Okay.
It was just like, this is just what it was. Like I think the wire was even part of the seahorse.
Oh,
for example.
Oh.
And then we were just taking beads of liquid off of it to get sent to a different time.
Was it like the wire coming out? I was imagining one of those things, you know, when you've got to like, it's all wiggly and you've got to put the hoop over it. And then if you touch the wire, it's like,
it literally looks like that.
Okay.
But for some reason in the dream, because I was my granddad who made the discovery, he was like, this is absolutely part of the seahorse. Even though it looks like the electric hoop thing.
sure he just didn't stick it on like an iguanodon nose.
It's always been there. Totally.
It's always been there. Yeah, I found it like
brand
that.
Brand new discovery. This is not any regular seahorse.
There's no glue. Don't look at that.
Don't look too close. It's poisonous.
That's not tape.
See, part of me is curious because, okay, right. This is leaking someone else's dream. But you said about,
oh my God,
like,
the dream merging.
The seahorse having, like, did you say they're like little marble-sized things coming off, like little things
beads
that you would
of
eat?
Liquid, yes.
Yeah. So, weirdly enough, yesterday, Rithian messaged us saying that he had had a dream. And in his dream, hang on, let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, hang on, I'm going to go find it too.
It was like a seafood thing. And he said, you had this weird, colourful abacus-looking thing with small compartments and you slurped on them. You got nutrition from the plankton in the water. And I'm like, that just sounds so like an abacus with beads and then this little like, but it's in the water. And I'm like, it just, when you were describing it, I was like, why is this so strangely similar to like
beads and wildlife? It is a premonition.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We need to start ingesting strange liquids from the sea,
we do.
I think.
Yeah, I think that's
until
what
we
I'm
get sent back in time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, if, like in the beginning, we sort of came from the sea. Maybe it's time we return.
It's time
maybe
to come back.
Okay. All right. Okay, it's time.
The big, like, Lord, what's the name of the guy from the Scientology books? Who's the big... The guy that they like.
It begins with an X, doesn't it?
Xenu?
Like,
Xenu, yeah, he's telling us it's time to return to the water now.
Your spirits are not yours. They're from an ancient, like, crazy alien race that went into your volcanoes. It's time to give them back.
And those of you who eat nutrients of the sea beads, you will be spared. You will be allowed to... Yeah. Thrive.
Just drink the Kool-Aid. Okay.
It's honestly a sign that you should start a cult.
Like compared to Scientology and Hubbard's like explanation of life, I don't think my dream's too far fetched. I reckon I could start a religion of my own.
Yeah, I reckon you could found something on that. You know, the whole time travel and
we worship a civilization that went extinct before our own.
That had really good PCs.
And we're just trying to, they had way better tech than us, and we're just trying to get back to that.
I keep thinking of those, I don't know if you get them anymore, but do you remember, like, before bath bombs were a thing, you used to get, like, bath jellies. They'd be, like, little marble-shaped things
the
full of soap.
The little jelly balls.
And they looked really tasty.
I love those.
I don't
eat
think
them.
I've ever seen those.
Really? They were really big in, like, the 90s, the early 2000s. They were, like, a jelly ball. Kind of like when you get popping boba. They were like that.
Oh,
and you
popped
them in a bath and they would just sort of go blip.
I think my mum had some,
We always used to get those in like party bags. It would be those and those flannels that were crushed into a shape that you could then soak and they would turn into a flannel.
Oh, yeah.
It was like someone had just raided a Claire's accessories and put it in a high bag.
A slice of cake wrapped in a napkin and a bendy straw.
Oh, my God.
Off you go.
Stop sending me back. I've already been flung back into the past once. Don't
I
need
miss
this again.
Having party bags. That was, why did we stop doing that?
Party bags were the best. That and lucky bags. Do you remember getting lucky bags as a kid?
Oh my God, lucky bags are so good.
Love lucky bags. That's not a thing anymore.
What were lucky bags?
Huh?
I don't think I had one. What's a lucky bag?
You never had a lucky bag?
No.
They were like a thing you could get from the shop and you'd pay like a pound for them and it would be like an A4 size probably because it would have like a puzzle sheet in
it
usually.
It's like an A4 Jiffy bag essentially.
Yeah. And it would have like those little mazes with the tiny ball bearings in them or some rubbers or pens, like colouring pencils, a lollipop. And it would just, it would just have random stuff in it and it would just be a lucky bag.
Aww.
And they'd come in like different cartoons and stuff. Like you could get, Ed, Edd n Eddy lucky bag or whatever, Powerpuff Girls.
Oh my God, what a cartoon.
What a cartoon.
I'm just looking at the image that was on all the lucky bags. And it had a turtle on it. Do you remember the turtle? And it was on a rocket. It was like a yellow leopard egg. I didn't
Dick
know
Turtle.
On the rocket it said Dick Turtle. I had no idea.
Oh, I forgot about those ones. Those were like the OG lucky bags. Dick Turtle lucky bag.
That's the ones I used to get.
Oh my God.
Dick Turtle.
I have never seen these before.
Really?
Oh, I think I would remember Dick Turtle.
I think I would as well, but apparently not. Maybe I just blanked it for good reason.
It does say giant size Dick Turtle.
Yeah, they were big ones.
You get sealed bags still? Could we do an unboxing of a lucky bag?
Let me check eBay. Someone's probably scalping the Dick Turtle lucky bags.
Yeah, I used to get like colouring books in it, stickers and things like that. Quite like really cheap stuff. Crayons.
It sort of reminds me of when I was very little, I had a birthday party at the Beefeater. And despite being a vegetarian child, and it was all like Charlie Chalk themed.
Yes.
So I got like a little Charlie Chalk goodie bag and stuff like that and a badge.
Yes. Yeah.
That guy. You sound like you have beef with Charlie Chalk. Oh, yes.
Charlie Chalk.
I remember him well. His wacky way of walking.
He's just freaky looking.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that era of like children's shows which freak me out.
Yeah. It's like I watched The Goonies for the first time last night and I was scared to watch it because something about the 80s can sometimes scare me.
Yeah. It's like the aesthetic, right?
Yeah.
Of some of the special effects and things and the way it's portrayed and the tone. Mm. It's just a bit off. A bit freaky.
Like sometimes
it's not squeaky clean.
Stuff can be a bit like creepy in a way that I can't put words to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
totally
I can't watch like Dark Crystal. Never seen it. Terrifies me.
That is freaky.
Is it the puppets?
Puppets.
Or like animatronics? Is that what gets you?
I think it is the puppets.
Kind of like Labyrinth as well, right?
Ooh. Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah. Like just creepy.
Muppets, fine. Puppets,
Muppets
Jim Henson crossed a line. Yeah.
Jim Henson got it right.
Then he just veered off into making Labyrinth style. Because I tried watching Neverending Story and I was fine until the puppet showed up and then I was like, no,
I'm done.
No, my gut is telling me to leave now.
I've had a look. I can't find anywhere selling lucky bags online.
Damn it, I think there's a niche in the market
for us to start a new business.
Maybe that's what your dream was telling you. You should start a new lucky bag
epic journey.
Bring back Dick Turtle.
Yes, the quest for Dick Turtle.
This is it. That's a great name for a book. The quest for Dick Turtle.
Oh my gosh. Make it happen. Did you, like, when you woke up from this dream, because when did you have it? Was it like a few months ago?
Yeah, it's quite a while ago now. 24th of February.
Oh,
okay.
I've got
do you
it on
remember,
my note.
Did you have any, like, what was your feeling? Were you just like, huh, that was weird? Or did you feel, like, connected to any particular part of, like, oh, I, like, this feels like a, like, did any of it feel like it had meaning? Or was it just like, oh, this is weird?
I woke up and felt like I was still in that state of, I've discovered something very important. I need to write this down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was an ancient civilization. I have evidence now. I've been there. So I started writing it down. And as I was writing, I was like, oh, I'm still dreaming a little bit. And after that, it was just the connection with my granddad, I guess, was like the main takeaway.
Yeah.
Of like, wow, we had so much in common and he had this whole different life. What does that mean? Why is my brain telling me this? Which I found fascinating.
I had a look up of what it means to dream of seahorses, and it says it signifies the strength of your instinct and intuition. So you should go for it.
Yeah, it means you
all right.
need to act on these big discoveries.
Damn. Yeah. I'm going to Egypt, guys.
Hell
I'm
yeah.
just going on booking.com, see if I can get a flight.
Nice.
off to Egypt, and then maybe Napoli afterwards.
Or yeah, Naples. I hear they have Naples. Good chairs. I mean, I feel like the chairs, were they like hard wooden chairs with soft cushions, or were they cushiony chairs?
Like big plush armchairs.
Ooh.
That were very eccentric, with elaborate velvet cover and strange covers, which were both extremely old-fashioned, but also very quirky.
Yeah.
That's what I wrote.
Oh, I feel like
very unique looking.
An association between, I don't, maybe this is just me, but when I think of my granddads, I do think of the chairs they used to sit in. Because maybe it was just a granddad thing that they used to have like a chair that was their chair.
Yeah, yeah.
My granddad was in a chair all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'd always see him in it. Yeah.
Same.
There just seems to be this like granddad chair link.
Connection, yeah. For sure.
I remember, this is just giving me the weirdest memory, but I remember watching this video, this like VHS when I was in primary school, and it was about a boy who got sent back in time to...
What?
It was like in, I guess it must have been like Victorian era or something, but he goes and lives with this family and he goes and sits in the dad's chair and everyone's like, oh, you can't sit in dad's chair. He'd be so angry. And then the dad comes in and he's just like, okay, I'll get out the chair. That's the only bit of the video I remember.
It's their chair. They've worked it in.
Yes. Do people still have chairs? Do people have chairs that are their chairs anymore?
I think so. My nan still does. Bless her.
It's like the royal family, like that old sitcom. They had their chairs that they sat in, I think.
Just I think it takes years of like butt development,
groove.
Right?
Mm.
To like go through crap chairs, try out different sofas, have an IKEA one for a bit, and then you mold your chair. And by the time you're like elderly, you've really refined your chair selection. And this is your chair now. And no one else is taking this chair.
Like Frasier's
dad. Every other chair.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your dream with us. I'm glad we finally got to hear it. It's such an adventure.
I'll see if there's a sequel sometime.
Oh,
and I'll let you know.
If you were going to get back into this dream, which era would you explore more? Would you go present time, hanging out with granddad, fun times on the plane? Would you go back in time, or would you go back to the future?
Palmy wants to go back to the future, but it was terrifying, as well as like, oh my God, it's crazy. But then again, I think I want to go into my granddad's Nathan Drake era, like roaming Egypt, discovering these cool things and going on an adventure with him. That sounds amazing. So I'd probably do that bit. So it's like half back in time, not all the way back to ancient civilization, but like to my granddad's youth would be pretty cool.
Do you think the internet has deprived our future generations of any sort of like mystery and wonder as to what we got up to as children? Because they can literally just look at our, you know, instead of going through like photo albums, they can just check Instagram and scroll back for a while, see what we were doing.
That's true. But then again, if they're anything like me, which obviously I'm not that generation, I'm so bad at taking photos and then post them online. That so much of my life is not online because of laziness and low effort. So I still think there's plenty of people out there that haven't got their whole lives online.
Yeah, yeah. I think
still got lots of wonder.
With like Zoomers, isn't there a whole thing where they're not really that computer literate? They just sort of have their phones. So it's kind of gone the other way now. They can't sit there and Google everything. They don't know how.
Yeah. I mean, it's like cars, right? Like, most of us don't know how they're put together and how they work. Like a lot of our generation at least understands how PCs are made and put together and how they function. We can kind of troubleshoot. And then obviously the generation older than us was a bit too late to the game for PCs. It was like a little bit too new and crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up with it.
Exactly.
I think we're just lucky, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I guess with cars, like, back in the day, people would have understood like the mechanic side of things, whereas now so much of it is electronics that it's just like, I don't know how, like, you have to take it into the shop a lot
for
more.
Two reasons. One's like the technology's advanced so much and it's so safe now, you don't have to worry about it breaking down all the time and fixing it. And the other one is all the proprietary tech of these companies wanting to lock down their tech so only their engineers can fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a catch 22. But yeah, I reckon tech has got so good that the generations below us don't need to worry about how it works and functions or how to use it effectively.
Yeah.
This is how it happens. They stop questioning it and then the robots take over and then...
yeah.
And then everything that happened in your dream will happen again.
No!
Oh, we could be that civilization.
Oh my God.
It goes extinct. Oh my God.
See, I finished Mass Effect 1 yesterday, so this is all feeling very real as well.
yeah. Great game.
So good. Yeah. She was like, I finished Mass Effect 1. Nobody kissed me. I was like, you got to work for those kisses.
I'm used to Baldur's Gate 3. Like, I show up and everyone wants me.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, they're really playing the long game in Mass Effect.
I have to get to know you. What?
unless you get with Caden, who's a slut. He's true. A real, yeah. He just airs it for it, but no one wants him.
No,
really.
Who in their right mind?
He full on gailed me at one point and I was like, I've fallen for this once, I'm not falling for it again.
Yeah, Caden's not worth it. But you wait till Mass Effect 2, then you get some real options.
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
Stay away from my boy Garrus.
Garrus is everyone's boy.
No, this is mine.
He's such a little himbo. Is he a himbo or does he just come across like a himbo when I'm playing?
Oh, I don't know. Is he?
He's pretty smart.
Yeah, he's a smart boy.
He's pretty switched on.
He's just, I think there's just things that his character keeps, I guess it's the way it's programmed with his dialogue, but the things he's doing and the things he's saying just keep on not lining up. And I'm like, is he just a little bit dumb.
Not really connecting the dots, is he?
He's just shy.
Yeah, great. Enjoy that franchise.
Yeah,
I'm going to get to dreaming again.
Hell yes. Nice.
I've got
a question.
Oh.
Before you do that.
Yeah.
Are you guys now the go-to oracles of dream stories? And are you subject to the thing that put me off dreams?
Yes.
You just get people telling you their dreams all the time now.
I still, like, when we started this podcast, I just thought, dreams are funny little things. I don't really think about them at all. And now, since we've been doing it, I'm fascinated. And, like, people will sort of jokingly be like, oh, I had a dream about this. And I'll immediately be like, oh, it must be this or this. Yeah. Or maybe it's this. Or are you going through this at the moment? And it's just like, oh.
Oh, no. So I think they're immediately full of regret. Yeah, it's just like, oh, you dreamt about this? That means you're horribly anxious. This? Oh, you're going through bad things at work. Blah, blah, blah. And then they don't tell you any more dreams. So
it's okay.
Anxiety.
I should have utilized that technique. Yeah. Okay, good to know.
But yeah, no, I do love it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's a good way to, like, just sort of sit there and reflect back on, like, things you've been thinking of or may not necessarily have realized you were thinking about, you know? So
yeah.
It's just a nice bit of self-reflection and stuff.
Great topic for small talk.
Yeah, exactly.
You get to know people without fully having to divulge your entire life story. You can kind of do it in, like, abstract terms.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about crazy dreams.
I think I am, like, so tuned into what some of my dream things will mean now that as I start telling people about them, I suddenly think, like, oh God, I've just realized what this means and I've revealed too much. They're probably blissfully unaware.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like, oh no, abort, abort. I've said too much.
We're all blissfully unaware. Don't worry. Not many take a podcast and learn about dreams. So...
I do still just have weird dreams, usually involving just, like, I don't know. The two themes seem to be, like, walking around without much care for nudity and the moon being really big and the world is possibly about to end.
Huh.
But
oh, wow.
Oh, world-ending dreams just, lately.
Yeah.
I feel like they go hand in hand, though. Like, who wouldn't be fully naked if you knew the moon was coming? You know?
Yeah, you're just like, okay.
May as well.
Who cares anymore?
Let's break all the norms.
Yeah. Where can people find you?
So not I your live house. In Bristol?
No. Oh.
No.
Okay. I do High Rollers and Hat Films. So if you just search those two things, you'll probably find those two channels. So I do D&D every Sunday on twitch.tv/highrollersdnd, and then have films every day.
Every day?
Every day.
There's a video every day on our YouTube.
Oh my God.
And you can sometimes see them on the bus as well. Or are you not on a bus anymore?
They're gone now, I'm afraid.
Oh, I liked seeing the bus.
The bus has gone.
Oh. Yeah.
I know. The amount of people in Bristol that noticed and told me about the bus ad is wild. It's very effective for local communities.
I still have that thing because I remember where I was when I first saw one of the buses. And now literally every time I'm in that one particular road, it triggers that memory of that film's bus. You know when you like, two
welcome.
Things just become linked in your mind forever?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, this is where I saw the bus.
That. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where you can find me.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about your dream.
This was fun. I want to do it again. I need to have more dreams to note down.
You do. Hopefully we'll have a sequel soon.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah. But anytime you want to come back, you are very, very welcome to.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. I'll stop avoiding it now.
Yay.
Yay. Well,
thanks a lot. This was real fun.
Thank you for joining us. And thank you, Kirsty, as always.
Thank you, Bryony. And thank you, Trot. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
And until next time, bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.